Welcome to episode 126 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Andrew, David, and Jen. This week we talk about sidekicks, and now the cast begins. Okay, everybody, welcome to another sidekicking episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hey.
And David.
Hello.
And this week, we didn't fucking read anything.
Nope.
kind of felt good to have a week off.
Yeah.
I read other comics.
Oh, man, I read so much manga, like, that I don't normally have time for, so.
Which manga did you read?
I picked up a bunch of the volumes of the Viz Big editions of Rurouni Kenshin, which is the manga that made me fall in love with comics in the first place way back in high school.
Is that the guy whose sword isn't sharp?
It's, like, sharpened on the back, which is actually, I guess, not physically possible with the way you would normally forge a katana. So, yes.
Okay.
What did you read, David?
Here, let's see. Well, I went to the recycled bookstore, and I got a copy of Immortal Iron Fist, the Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker
one. Yes, that one's fucking awesome.
And I also got... What else? I got another trade that I thought that you would be interested in, Andy, and I can't remember what it is now. It must not have been that good.
I have, like, the first six volumes or whatever of that Matt Fraction Iron Fist run. It's friggin' amazing.
And then I also, well, I read my weekly comics. So I read some Batman, Thor, Avengers. There's this Age of Ultron thing happening in Marvel that I don't, yeah.
Okay, wait, so that's a lot of Marvel books in there, right?
Well, the only non-Marvel books I get right now is Batman, Green Lantern, and Green Lantern Corps.
Okay. So
go ahead.
So in everything you just named, there's one of them that has a sidekick.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not even that one anymore, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah. None of them have sidekicks. But we were able to do, you know, I didn't quite notice it.
Technically, Batman didn't really have much Robin in it. It was mostly because there was a Batman and Robin comic.
Yeah.
And what's weird about that is he didn't even die in Batman and Robin. He died in Batman Incorporated, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I just read an issue today because Batman number 18 came out today. Oh, no, it came out last week. Sorry, it came out last week. And Batman was sad in it.
A lot of people are sad these days.
Yeah, but you know what? I have a friend who was absolutely thrilled that Damian Wayne was killed.
I can sympathize with that. I don't necessarily dislike Damian, but I can see why other people do.
You know what? Damian's annoying, but he does things that make him endearing. Mostly when Grant Morrison's writing him, like Bat-Cow. Do you guys remember that scene?
Hmm?
Okay.
Oh, Bat-Cow, yeah.
Yes, Bat-Cow.
I thought he said Bat-Cowl.
No, Bat-Cow. Yeah. But he's actually good. But I think it's interesting that of all the ones that you named, only one of them has a sidekick, and none of the Marvel ones have sidekicks. And it seems I don't know. Like, there's no... You know, I was sitting there thinking, because this is an episode where supposedly we're just going to sit around and think and shoot the shit about sidekicks since we've been reading about them. And it's like, the newest one we had was Winter Soldier, right? And that was that came out in when? 2004?
Yeah, but see, but Bucky is a character from the 40s.
Yeah, and when he comes back, he's not, like, he's not sidekicking at all.
No.
You know? And it's like, yeah, the sidekicks are just, I don't know if they're passé, or everybody sees them as lame now.
I think sidekicks are kind of, I don't know. I guess, you don't even hear the term sidekick that much anymore.
Yeah.
Or young ward.
You know, young Ward. I think the only one that says that is Alfred.
Well, like, I have Fantastic Four here from last week, and that features... So it's the Fantastic Four plus the Richards kids. Are they sidekicks? No.
You know what? This is one
thing. How do you even define a sidekick? That's a good place to start.
Yes. because I think the way I sat down and thought about it, I split it off into two things, right? Like, there's the traditional sidekick, which we talked about, I think, in the first episode of this arc, where we were kind of talking about, like, a sidekick is somebody who is under the mentorship of the title character of the comic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's why, like, even though Alfred is, quote-unquote, subordinate, I think that's the word that we were talking about back then, subordinate to Batman, Alfred's not really a sidekick.
Well, you know? So Wikipedia defines sidekick.
Yes.
As is a close companion who is generally regarded as subordinate to the one he accompanies. So, yes. Like, I guess technically Alfred is a sidekick. Maybe not. He doesn't accompany Batman out into the world.
See, and that's why, like, I also thought of, when I thought of Batman and I thought about those supporting characters, I thought about Superman, too. And Superman kind of has sidekicks and kind of doesn't. He has Krypto, which is, like, one of the most badass sidekicks, if we're going to call Krypto the Superdog a sidekick, because Krypto's amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's Superboy, but Superboy is not, like, under the mentorship of Superman. Superboy is kind of his own thing, and has been for a while. And so, that's maybe his sidekicks, but then, like, what role is Jimmy Olsen?
He's Superman's pal. He's not really...
Yeah, but what does that mean? And then there's more guys like that in the DC Universe, like Snapper Carr with the Justice League for, like, the 60s and 70s. He's kind of like their mascot.
Even Marvel has that with Rick Jones.
Yeah, and Jarvis.
Yeah, Jarvis, too. And Jarvis is more like he's more of an Alfred-type character.
Yeah, I think he's a little analogous to, like, the JSA has Ma Hunkle. Like, the JSA's headquarters is a brownstone in New York City, and they have this nice old woman, a retired superhero, that's named Ma Hunkle, who takes care of the building for them.
Well, and then there's even, like, Elrond from
Justice
League International.
Elrond's amazing.
Well, even, like, here's a recent example is, like, Squirrel Girl, right? Mm-hmm. In New Avengers, she was the babysitter for Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. But she was, like, hanging around the Avengers Mansion and, you know, she was in on the action a little bit insofar as she, like, protected the baby. But she took orders from Luke and Jessica. So she accompanies them and she is subordinate to them. Does that make her a sidekick? I don't know.
No, because even then, that there's another layer that makes that a more complicated situation in that her job, quote-unquote job, was as babysitter. And so if it's their kid, it's like, well, you got to listen. It's their kid, right?
Yeah. But they also kind of mentor her a little bit because she's not, like, the best.
Oh, come on. She defeated Dr. Doom, like, in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, squirrels did.
In one of the most horrible fights ever written.
You know, I think it has something to do with a more constant level of companionship. For instance, Batman and Robin, they share a headline. And even with, like, I don't know, Jimmy Olsen, there are so many Superman comics where he's there using his, like, special, like, what is it, his ultrasonic watch or something to summon Superman to where the action is. So it seems like it's someone that you kind of mentor who's actually in the fray more often than not. And I think, for instance, Batgirl is a good example. I consider her more like a sidekick when she's Batgirl, but more as a support character when she's Oracle. Because there's, like, a physicality to being a sidekick, I think, which is what makes Alfred and Jarvis not so much.
Hmm. So it's the being out in the field that makes them a sidekick versus being a support character?
But then if that's the case, I don't really think Jimmy is a sidekick because he doesn't help Superman.
Not at all.
Like, Superman usually saves Jimmy.
Do you need to actually be helpful, I think, is another question.
Well, I think that's part of being mentored by a superhero is you have to do some heroing yourself. Jimmy doesn't really do that.
You have to be at least in the profession of superheroics to get mentored in being a superhero. And then there's like who else is there? What are some of the other sidekicks? Because there are a shitload of them. I mean, we've just mentioned like Bucky and Robin.
Okay, what about Batgirl. Like Harley? There's... Harley Quinn, is she Joker's sidekick?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Why don't you? Okay, so both of you argue your points. Andy, go. How come she's not a sidekick?
Well, she's not a sidekick because she's his lover. There's no mentoring that goes on there. He did drive her crazy. The reason that she is Harley Quinn is because of him. But she also has managed to, over time, grow into her own character. And that's not to say that other sidekicks haven't. I mean, we get Bucky, Robin, all the Robins, especially Dick Grayson definitely grows into their own character. But something about Harley that she never was under mentorship, she always had her own brand of crazy that was different from the Joker's.
I don't know. She uses a lot of the same types of accessories, like the joke guns, and she has that rubber chicken that's like heavy. It's like things that Joker would use, I think. Well,
yeah, David. I mean, funny's funny. You can't argue with that.
But so even and so, one of your arguments was that because she's Joker's lover, she can't be a sidekick. But look at I'm not okay. Let me
see. This is where it also gets tricky.
But so Robin, I'm not saying he's Batman's lover. Robin. Is Batman's like a father figure to Robin, especially when he's young, because he takes him in, gives him a home, all that kind of stuff. So they're doing like father-son thing. Maybe they're just bonding, and that's why they're bonding over superheroics.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely there is a relationship of love between Batman and Robin. The mm-hmm. same way you would have a relationship of love between a caring father and a son who wants to prove himself. You know? But that's way different than, like, oh, hey, you're hot, let's bone. There's millions of different kinds of different in there. And it's just, like, I get that there's the relationship of caring between the two, but...
Okay, so when Harley Quinn entered the comics universe, it was during No Man's Land. Mm-hmm. And she proves herself, she kind of has to prove herself to Joker that she's, like, actually a crazy person. And not just a stalker. And then at first he doesn't even like her until she starts to kind of do her own thing. Then he wants her back, which is similar to Tim Drake having to prove himself and then figure out that Bruce Wayne is Batman to become Robin. Right? So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just those are similarities.
what makes her... Oh, Jenna, what you like said yes immediately. What makes her the sidekick?
Now, granted, some of this is based off of like fuzzy recollections from childhood cartoons, but as I remember, she was always helping the Joker in his antics, and I mean, it never worked out that way. She'd often like be a hindrance, like an equal amount, but it was this gusto with which she wanted to prove herself to him. Where, you know, she was kind of a constant side companion. She gave a lot of, I guess you could say, like, moral support in her constant, like, you know, we're gonna get Batman, Mr. J,
mm-hmm.
type of support. And, like, I would kind of argue that just, even though they had a romantic relationship happening, it's not necessarily the emotional bond that makes a sidekick, because I don't, like, there is mentorship there, but on the other hand, like, especially early on, you can see team-ups happening where, you know, they have to get to know each other first. I remember when we first saw Amadeus Cho meet Hercules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, whoa, who are you, guy? What are you doing? And that bond isn't there yet. It has to develop. But at that point, you know, from their first meeting, they are kind of a sidekick superhero team. It's the mentorship is already established, even without the closeness.
Yeah. That sounds... That all... I agree with 100% of that. And if they weren't lovers, I would be convinced. It's just... I don't know why. That barrier stops me from getting there. And I don't know why.
Maybe it's more of an idea that, like, lovers are supposed to have a degree of equality. For instance, we would never call Jean Grey Cyclops' sidekick. Or, you know, even yeah. though it may be deserved, we wouldn't say vice versa. So...
Well, what about... Oh, wait, never mind. That's a bad example. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing that makes it interesting is that Joker and Harley are not of the same age, but they're a lot closer than, say, Batman and Robin. And every other example I can think of between the main hero and the sidekick, there's the parent-child dynamic. I think that's the other barrier that I'm coming across. I mean, it manifests in the fact that they're lovers, but also, I mean, Joker and Harley are the same age.
So you're saying that a sidekick has to be a teenager or a child?
It seems like it.
I think a lot of primary examples are, but what about, like, the Falcon and Captain America? Falcon's not a kid, and I think he's often... He's in a lot of books, and he often operates by himself, but I wouldn't say that he's... I mean, but he's not, like, a top-billing character. You wouldn't buy a book with the Falcon. And he's often Captain America's, like... He often helps Captain America. So I don't think he necessarily...
See, I think that's mentorship and sidekicking by rank, because they are both in the military, and Captain America would clearly outrank Falcon.
So what about Kitty Pryde? Because she's clearly younger than everyone else. She, when we first meet her, has a lot to learn about being a mutant. And, for instance, in Days of Future Past, I think,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's not competent. Her future self has to come back to, like, harness that power, because the young Kitty Pryde simply cannot do it. But we don't really consider her a sidekick. So how does something like that fall into it, where, you know, there's already all of those traits, but yet a sidekick it does not make?
I don't know. Well, at first it seemed like they were setting Kitty up to be Storm's sidekick. Because whenever they would go out in town, they would always be those two together. And Storm would be telling her, this is, you know, don't do this in public. You know, we need to make sure about this kind of thing. It's almost like Storm was her teacher of how to integrate as an X-Man with society. Ooh. But I think that's also complicated by the team dynamic, right? I mean, when we say sidekick, so often we think of the singular hero and singular sidekick. But you could almost see that, you could almost say that Kitty Pryde was the sidekick of the X-Men.
Here's a theory. Or
the sidekick of the team?
What if a sidekick isn't necessarily a functional purpose within the comic, but it's more meta, in that a sidekick is supposed to be there to help the reader relate more? Because, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of sidekicks were young boys, especially in the Silver Age, when the target audience was not middle-aged men or men in their 30s, but rather teenage boys, younger boys. Because if you think about it, Robin made, you know, this lonely, kind of angsty, even in the Silver Age, figure of Bruce Wayne be far more accessible, because, you know, it shows Batman there saving a kid sometimes and getting help from his kid friend, and it's something that you could always think about if you were a kid, be like, you know, what if I could find a superhero to hang out with? And same with Superman. Jimmy Olsen's a normal dude, and he's pretty young. And Superman is supposed to be the greatest man on Earth. And what if you, normal dude, got to hang out with him? So maybe it's a meta aspect? I'm just spewing whatever comes into my brain. So.
You know what, though? But I think that's the nail on the head. Because, and as a story writer, right, you got to figure, you can have old, campy Adam West Batman, right? But if you have an adult acting that campy kind of way, there's going to be some cognitive barrier to entry. Like, kids know that adults don't act like that. Adults don't dress up in costumes. Adults don't go fight comic like that. Adults don't say, gee willikers, you know? So you have to create what the hell is the word? You have to create the character whose eyes the reader can see through. So that even if you still have Batman saying gee willikers, but Robin's in frame, if you're a younger reader, you can identify your position as Robin. And you know how kids are, right? Maybe Batman's saying, oh, fucking damn it all. But the kid is going to, like, oh, he didn't mean to say that. You know, like, because the entire experience will then be filtered through Robin in the reader's mind. And all of the sort of wackiness or campiness of comics from back in the Silver Age is then perfectly fine because, hey, Robin's there. Of course they're not going to cuss around Robin. Of course they're not going to go get wasted at the bar or whatever gritty thing is in comics nowadays. I think you're exactly right. I think it's there as a function for the reader and less as a function for the hero.
Woo.
Which is probably exactly why we don't see them anymore. Because now, although those kids have grown up and don't mind seeing the hero being whatever the fuck the hero needs to be, like, it's almost the same audience in a lot of ways.
Well, I think part of that is nowadays there's a big push for heroes to be relatable in some way. And I would say that Golden Age and Silver Age heroes, especially from DC, were presented as, like, above everyone else. So, like Jen said, having a sidekick or a teenage ward or something to that effect gives the reader someone to relate to.
Yes. So then what happens... What happens to the sidekick when they're not necessary anymore? When the writers realize that the readers don't need this lens?
Grant Morrison sends them to limbo.
Well, they
grow into their own heroes.
If they're lucky.
So if that's true, why does Batman still have a sidekick?
I mean, at this point, I think Robin's the most iconic of all the sidekicks. I think it's the thing of you can't rationalize or think of Batman without thinking of Robin, which is why as much as they'll try, you can't have a Batman that isn't Bruce Wayne. You can't have a Superman that isn't what the hell's his name? Kal-El. You know, you can't have these characters that aren't these iconic things that you already have in your mind. Which is why I think all of the other superheroes either graduated or got fucked up. Like, Bucky got fucked up. Jason Todd got smashed in the face with a crowbar. Green Arrow's sidekick was on speed. Right? And then stop the addiction only to get it again, like, 20 years later in one of the worst comic books ever written that we've actually read for this show.
Cry for Justice?
Yes,
no,
it is.
No, it's not Cry for Justice.
It's... Was that the name of it? No. I don't know. The one where he's holding a dead cat.
Yeah.
In a fucking alleyway.
Rise
and Fall.
Yes.
Yeah. Arsenal. Cry for Justice. Something else.
Is that what happens? Do the sidekicks just become whipping boys? For the author? Like, oh, we can't have Joker go in and fuck up Batman. So we'll have Joker go in and fuck up Robin. I mean, are these the women in refrigerators for the heroes who have never had women?
Well, actually, Dick Grayson has the highest incidence of male rape in, like, all of comics.
No, I mean, like, okay, so Batman is notorious at insulating himself, right? So he wouldn't have, if you wanted to get to Batman, he doesn't have a woman attached to him that you could go fuck up and stick in a refrigerator, you know? Story speaking, to motivate Batman into a frenzy, right? He has no woman do that to, so you do it to Jason Todd. Captain America is a lot the same deal. He has no woman attached to him, so you go kill his sidekick. And Green Arrow does have a woman attached to him, but Black Canary is way more badass than him, so you don't want to go fuck with her. So you go fuck with Speedy and give him drugs in an alleyway. Like, it's sort of, sidekicks are the women in refrigerators for dudes who don't have women. I think that's what they've been reduced to.
So, what does it mean when you're a sidekick who gets promoted to your own title, like Nightwing or Winter Soldier? Like, are you just really popular? Is it that, you know, you have a certain likability? What makes these guys special?
Like, you've gotten enough cachet under your own name to move out from under the shadow?
Yeah, but how does one do that? I mean, I guess now we're just talking about, like, what makes a character popular, but it strikes me as interesting that a couple Robins have gotten their own gigs, but, you know.
Three of them have.
Have you really? Three?
So, Dick Grayson's Nightwing, Tim Drake is Red Robin, and Jason Todd is Red Hood.
Oh, I always forget about Red Robin.
Yeah, and this doesn't even include the bad girls either. Oracle was very functional, even though that's after... I mean, the same way Jason Todd became Red Hood after he got murdered. Oracle became Oracle after.
Cassandra Cain became Batgirl, and then now she's Black Bat.
Yeah. So Batman has a good success rate. He's a good mentor.
Well, and it's interesting, too. Yeah. They call it the Bat Family. So, I mean, like, the level of attachment there between each of the characters is, I would argue, more profound than if they were just, like, a team. Like, I don't know. The X-Men, they're close. They're not the X-Family. They're not Professor Xavier's, like, family.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think... I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example from the Marvel Universe other than Bucky, of a sidekick. And I know we did Cho, but I think Cho's...
There's an equality there.
There's an equality there, and I think when he was created, maybe this is giving too much credit to... what's their name? Fred Van Lente and... what's the other author's name?
Greg Pak?
Yes, Greg Pak. Like, maybe I'm giving them more credit, but I think they had an idea of what they wanted to do with Cho when they introduced him. Because he went from puttering around on his moped trying to take on S.H.I.E.L.D. all on his own to becoming the Prince of Power in a span of a couple of years versus the Robins who go, like, a decade or more, you know, still being Robin. And even then maybe reluctantly graduating, like Red Robin.
Does Beta Ray Bill count? Does he ever actually, like, help out Thor too much?
No. Was Thor for a while.
Yeah, he was never really a...
And I think, I don't know, have you guys heard of Stan Lee's take on sidekicks? I tried to find the original quote, but it's Stan Lee hated sidekicks with a burning passion. He thought they were the dumbest thing ever. For multiple reasons. He was like, I think one of the reasons was... It's dangerous and irresponsible for a hero to take a friggin' kid and bring him alongside with him to go fight these maniac supervillains. Like, that's irresponsible, it's not good leadership, it doesn't set a good example. And then, aside from that, if you're Batman, why the fuck do you want a kid following you around? Like, why would you want that? He would just be annoying and say gee willikers all the time.
I mean, that's the same vein of thinking that led to we want Spider-Man, not Spider-Boy. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, like.
And I think go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, like, maybe I would read Spider-Boy. Maybe that wouldn't be bad.
Maybe. I think it also ties in the fact that, like, the idea of almost a mascot for your hero, right? Like, you got to imagine... Robin, at some level, is just a giant fan of Batman's. Like, he's just a mascot, a flag-waving fan of the hero. And is that necessary, functionally speaking, in a story when you already have a dude flying around in pajamas, basically? Like, don't you already have a certain level of silliness quota met by the fact that it's a superhero comic book? That you don't need Jimmy Olsen with his special dog whistle watch that calls Superman in whenever he gets, you know... attacked by whatever silly thing he's attacked by this week?
I don't know. I feel like superheroes have so much symbolism themselves that they don't need... that. I don't think the sidekick serves as a mascot. Especially when characters are so different. Like, some of them are really different. Like, Robin, Dick Grayson is very different from Bruce Wayne, Batman, right?
And Damian Wayne's different from all of them.
Yeah.
Was different from all of them.
They all had different backgrounds. So what is it that they're representing for Batman?
that innocence that he had to lose. I don't know. I was trying to think of something deep to pull out of my ass. I don't know. I keep going back in my head to what Jen said earlier about them being just a functional use of writing as a lens for the reader.
I'm trying to think. The only two Robins I really know too much about are Damian and Dick Grayson. I'm thinking, like, you know, Dick Grayson, he was the first. He fit into that more, like, amicable, like, yeah, let's do this, Batman. And then later kind of grew up a little, somewhat more serious. He was very, like, always qualified. And, you know, I think at some point it was Jason Todd who says that Dick Grayson was always better suited. And he's, like, and, you know, Dick Grayson says, well, you're a bit more cerebral about this. But, you know, Dick Grayson's clever, too. He's not lacking in that area. And then, you know, so he's kind of just this well-rounded individual. Damian seems more like something that might appeal to kids today. He's very snarky. He pushes the boundaries of authority, which I don't know if you guys have seen, like, too much children's media flipping through, like, various channels on the TV, but it seems like, I don't know, Disney and whatever likes to portray kids as horrible brats, which is what strikes me as what Damian is. So maybe that's what it is to be like a cool 12-year-old these days. So
I don't know. I don't see Damian as a brat.
I find him to be a little snarky bratty. Like, he's more comedic about it. Like, he's the cool that you'd want to be.
But he's not, like, whiny.
No,
I think he's bratty, and he backtalks all the time, but at the same time, and he makes these grandeur claims of his abilities, you know, like, oh, I could kick all your asses, except for the fact that he actually could. So I mean, think that's the barrier for brattiness with him, maybe.
Yeah, I know a couple 12-year-olds, and they kind of, when they're trying to posture and be cool, they brag and they backtalk and they say, like, yeah, this is so cool. And it's like, it strikes me as that same brand of attitude. And I guess what I'm getting at here, since I don't know how Tim Drake and Jason Todd really behaved, is are they necessarily reflective of the audience that would have been reading them at their at the time? Like, you know, is one reflective of who a 1980s or a 1990s kid would have been?
You know, I can think of two examples of characters that did grow up with their target demographic. One of them is Wally West, who was Impulse. Like, he grew up into Flash when Barry Allen was killed. And Barry Allen, I don't know, when did Crisis on Infinite Earths happen? 85, 86? I don't know, but it was when I was a little kid, right? And so when I was growing up reading comics, I read Wally West, and he matured through the role of a hero the same time that I was growing up as an individual. And so it made very easy for me to identify with that character when I was younger. And now that they've taken Wally away and brought Barry back, I can kind of, even though I'm saddened by that change because I grew up with Wally, I can see that Barry is a more grown-up character and that he does hit the demographic that comic books are sold to nowadays. And the other example, even though it's not a graduation from Sidekick, would be Kyle Rayner, who starts out as such a newbie and just grows into the biggest badass you've ever seen next to Guy Gardner.
Yeah. And so,
I think there's something to that.
That is like a good tactic too, and completely outside of comics. I just, like, one of the most famous pieces of media of our time, Harry Potter, would not have been famous if Harry had stayed 11 the whole series. But he grew up at the same time the target audience did, and that worked really well and made J.K. Rowling a very rich woman. So there definitely, I think, is some sway to making characters mature. And you can't, I mean, how do you change Superman? You can't take away the core of what he is. He can't grow up. He's always going to be Superman. He's an icon.
Yeah. The best you can do is have an Elseworlds comic.
Yes.
I think that's about it. Because, I mean, you talk about him getting old, and that's Kingdom Come, you talk about there's no major reinterpretation you can do of these characters. I think you're entirely right. So what do we talk about a little bit about the problems with some sidekicks? Like, one of the things that bugs me the most is the insistentness of a fan base to attach characters together in ways that they're not attached. Okay, that's too vague. Why the hell does everybody joke around that Batman and Robin are gay for each other and that he's a fucking pedophile? That really bugs the shit out of me.
Okay.
For a second I was trying to dance around and I'm like, no, we have a fucking explicit tag. Why the fuck are why? I don't.
Yeah, that's something that bugs me too, because I think.
Because you and I are Bustle fans.
In researching for my master's thesis, I came across a sweet academic journal article on Batman and Robin being butt buddies.
And I love academia.
If you want to look it up, I think it's listed somewhere on the MLA database. So anyone who wants to do their research, but basically,
just look at keywords Batman, Robin, butt buddy.
I don't think you use the term butt buddy, so maybe the keyword search will only turn up horrible things for that. But basically, he goes into the idea of the sexualization of sidekicks, and I don't remember his argument, so I'm not going to try to restate it. But he does cite a specific example of, you know, Batman and Robin share a bed together, and I'm not really on board with the whole, you know, they must be gay for each other or that means anything, just like Sherlock and Watson don't have to have that relationship just because we can see it. So at the same time, what sort of creepy dude invites a young man into his mansion? He has, like, no other friends, no other social life, and he's like, hey, kid, sleep in my bed. Like, that's not a father-son relationship. That's not a mentor-student relationship. That is a pedophile and, what? I guess, pedophile victim? Pedophile-y? There's no word for that. But that's not normal.
See, but...
But see, no, I'm not saying...
The only thing for me there is sharing the same bed. Otherwise, you know, I could see that happening in real life. I can see Richard Branson, right? Rich, single, no inheritors. I don't know if he does. I'm just pulling that out of my ass.
Yeah, you are, because he has a family.
Okay, but whatever. Assume Richard Branson doesn't have a family, right? He's rich, playboy, whatever, goes around the world, tons of money. As he grows into his age, say he comes across this kid who's an orphan, right? Has nowhere to go, but is smart, capable, could maybe even, like, run a Fortune 5 company of his own one day, but he won't get the chance because he's a fucking orphan and he's going to get swallowed up by the system. A guy could really do that in real life. Like, bro, you're smart, you're capable, come live in my house. And all of it is fine until you get to sharing the same bed. And maybe that's just the shitty decision of one writer and one artist. I don't know. Like, without having the example, it's hard to say. But the idea of it doesn't automatically imply pedophilia or homoeroticism.
So, two statements there. First up, Michael Jackson's also an apt example. Second is, I think you are right when you say that it might just be a poor decision on the part of a writer, or maybe, I think, even an issue of the time.
Because when was this issue published?
This was, like, in the long, like, 40s? Oh. 50s? So, yeah, and that's the thing, because if you're appealing to, like, this generic American audience, you're going to be dealing with families that can't afford multiple bedrooms, that don't have the amenities of the year 2013. And, you know, it wasn't that uncommon to, for instance, share a bed with a brother. So it does, like, kind of strengthen the idea of a homosocial fraternal bond. So I guess my argument here is, yes, you could make the argument and say, like, there's something creepy about this. On the other hand, I mean, people have read Beowulf as being heavily homosexual, and you can't mix up homosexual and homosocial ideas when you have, like, a gap of time that separates the way society thought about stuff.
See, that's my biggest problem with literary criticism in general, is you can apply any school of thought from literary criticism to any work. You really can if you stretch it hard enough. And I think that's probably what's... Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But do you see what I'm getting at? Like,
yes.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I don't know why the fuck I felt the need to giggle at that.
I ruined David's point.
No, but David, you're entirely right. Like, and especially if you want to go back and find an example from like the 40s or the 50s. Okay, so that's two dudes together, right? What about I can't think also of a situation where there's a female hero and a female sidekick.
But I want to say there is something happening in Wonder Woman where some random other Amazonian girl hung out with her a little, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's been two Wonder Girls. There was Donna Troy and Cassandra Sandsmark, right? Both of them were Wonder Girl. I don't know if there was... I haven't read enough Wonder Woman to know if that was a Batman-Robin type of partnership going on there.
Yeah, I don't know either. The most I know of Donna Troy and Cassandra Sandsmark is from Teen Titans. at which point they're already not sidekicks. You don't get on Teen Titans and still be a sidekick. The point of Teen Titans is you're trying to move on from sidekickery and become a hero in your own. The only example I can think of woman is Ami Kami. That line where all the heroes are female, except there's as much as I love that as a counter commentary to sexism in comic books, in that we're going to take this genre, this art style that is always super over sexualized and just make the characters the most masculine ones you can think of. I really like what they do with that line when it's written that way. Like, I love Ami Kami for doing that. Like, we're going to take your expectations of sexualization and flip it on its head. And it's wonderful, except that's the only example I can think of. And it's only because they're all female. Like, it's Batgirl and Robin Girl.
Power Girl and Terra.
Ooh, yeah. But I think that's also more just a homosocial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't live together. Terra goes home
to her own place. I will say, like, based on internet memes I've seen, and I totally forgot about Wonder Girl.
A sidekick doesn't have to live with the superhero. Tim Drake didn't.
Yeah.
Tim Drake went home. I mean, they were neighbors, but...
I don't know. I think Terra's a fine hero in her own right. I think she's attached herself onto Power Girl because Terra doesn't know anything about surface culture. Knows nothing of what culture is like up on land as opposed to underground. She just doesn't know.
Well, that's still a form of mentorship.
But is that legitimate sidekick?
Oh, I don't know. Because, I mean, the idea, I think, too, is, for instance, take Superman. He taught Jimmy Olsen a lot of morals, and that was just a good way to work in the moral to a story, I think.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is a degree of, like, you know, social training. The way that you can respond to bad situations or the appropriate way to save people, you know, what you should and shouldn't do in terms of putting others at risk, those issues do come up for sidekicks. And that might be, like, partly in the social sphere. Like, it's okay to do this on the surface, but it's not okay to do that. And if you do this, you'll offend people, and you won't be a good hero. So maybe that sort of thing?
All right, so how about we lighten it up, since we've been talking about the heavy themes. What are your guys' favorite sidekicks? Do you have a favorite? Do you even really care about them enough to have a favorite?
I don't know.
If it counts, Batgirl.
Of course it counts.
Does she? Because I always think of, like, Robin as Batman's sidekick, and Batgirl is just kind of, like, extended Bat family. She's the red-headed Batgirl stepchild. But yeah, she's, like, savvy. She's athletically able. She's super smart. She has a photographic memory and is a kick-ass librarian. Like, that's the sort of person who would be my hero. So, I mean, I think that's just, like, a personal affinity. She has a lot of traits that, like, I wish I had. You know, if I were a hero, I'd want to be that kind of hero. Yeah, otherwise, I really like Amadeus Cho. I think what we're getting at is I like more mentally inclined characters, which suits, I think, my personality, considering, like, I don't know nothing about sports balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, David?
I'm going to go with Arthur the Moth from Tick.
Oh, my God.
winning.
Yeah.
Because he just has no idea what he's doing, and somehow he keeps the Tick from getting into too much trouble. I don't know. I just... I don't care that much about... I don't... Well, okay. It's not that I don't care about sidekicks. I just don't think... Man, this guy's such a great sidekick. Or, like, I think I like the comic relief sidekicks, like Bob.
Yeah, Hydra Bob.
Agent of Hydra. Yeah, he's good. He's funny. Right? I don't know. I could tell you someone who I thought was a terrible sidekick.
Let's hear it.
Jubilee.
Was she a sidekick?
I'd say so.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah. So I'm fine with it. I'm gonna have to say, I'm pretty sure Blue Beetle is my favorite sidekick. Maybe him or Ganthet.
But is he a sidekick?
I think so.
Are you talking about Ted Kord?
Yeah, I think Ted Kord is Michael John Carter's sidekick.
Andy, I don't know if I can agree with that. I don't know. They were more like buddy cops. That's like saying Danny Glover is Mel Gibson's sidekick.
Well?
No.
He's getting too old for that shit.
I don't agree with you, Andy.
Oh, fine. Yeah, you're
Skeets.
Right.
Skeets is already a sidekick, I know. A sidekick.
Skeets is a sidekick by programming. All right, then I guess Ganthet would be my favorite sidekick.
Because let me say this: Blue Beetle and Booster Gold form they're like two halves of a single entity.
and we wonder where the gay stuff comes from.
But they're definitely not gay. They said it. They told Sue Dibney that they're not gay.
Yes,
they put it out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, then yeah, I'll go with Ganthet as being a sidekick to Kyle Rayner.
But he's also Kyle's boss.
No, because you know what? No, and I can defend myself here because at a certain point Kyle Rayner realized that all of the Green Lantern power from Oa was in the One Ring. That he had the One Ring to rule them all when it came to the Green Lantern Corps. And he took a power upon himself greater than Ganthet's. He came to a realization that Ganthet could not, and out of that realization came a whole new breed of Guardians. He single-handedly rebirthed the race of Guardians around Ganthet. And if it weren't for Kyle Rayner, Ganthet would still be the lone Guardian.
And how'd that work out for them? Because they're all complete assholes again.
You know what? That's their own fault. You can't blame the parents for everything the children do. Okay.
It's just bad parenting. Kyle should have been there for Ganthet more.
No, come on. Ganthet was mom and Kyle was dad. Well, I guess they came out of Kyle's ring, so I guess Kyle was mom. Sorry, came out of Kyle. Okay. Yeah. There's not much else I really wanted to talk about. The only other thing that gets brought up with sidekicks is the... And this kind of goes in with the automatic sexualization of the relationship between the mentor and the sidekick.
Who is doing this automatic sexualization?
Tumblr. Also.
Well, there's your problem.
Also, or DeviantArt.
Oh, God, DeviantArt. No, never go. Never go. My eyes are scarred. the other one that that always the thing that got me right. Okay, when they first put Wonder Woman and Superman together, right? Like as a couple. This was just a few months ago now.
Well, they weren't. They just kissed because they were both super.
They kissed, lonely. Right? But I get the feeling that DC Comics made a big deal out of it and sent out press releases and that picture to like tons and tons of major news outlets, and at least half of them put that picture of them kissing up on the screen and say, and it said, "Who is Superman's sexy new sidekick?" And I don't know if I'm making too much out of nothing, but that feel. That
I don't remember really seeing that.
I'll have to post that on our Facebook page.
I'm gonna have to Google that shit right now.
Do it. It's. I don't know. I don't know if that's the sexist news media automatically saying that Wonder Woman and Superman can't be equals if they're in a relationship. Obviously, she'll be, you know, subordinate to him. Thus, the definition of the word sidekick from Wikipedia. Maybe that's all they did. Maybe like, oh, they're in a relationship. She's the woman. She's subordinate. Let me go on
Wikipedia. Okay. Sidekick. It was Good Morning America who described them as. See, that's just idiots. That's people who don't. That's most Danny. People. That's the normies.
Yes, that's most people. That's why they're normal and we're geeks.
And we don't like them in our comic book shops.
Yeah.
They need to get the fuck out.
I don't think there's like. Okay, maybe there's some deep rooted sexism and patriarchy in there, but that's probably just. People who don't know shit about comics being like, Superman's the hero because I've seen movies with him in it.
I think it says more about Good Morning America,
yeah,
producers than the state of sidekicks in America.
I gotta agree with that.
Okay.
See, like, I'm reading this little article and it talks about how Wonder Woman fans were outraged. I'm outraged as a comic book fan. Because Superman and Wonder Woman would never be Superman's sidekick.
No, not in a million years.
Okay. I mean, okay. If it were that sort of thing, we all know that Jimmy Olsen is the Ganymede in this picture. And, like, no one can replace that, so...
All right, so I guess that wraps up our discussion of sidekicks. Next week, we're going to start a new series. We're going to do some of the Flashes, since I don't think we've ever read anything with Flash in it yet. Other than, like, you know, Identity Crisis, which doesn't really count. So next week, we're going to do Terminal Velocity. It's a trade paperback. The paperback was printed in 1995. It collects issues 0 and 95 to 100, written by Mark Waid. And then after that, we're going to do Rogue War, which collects a bunch of random issues. It collects a half issue, issue 212, and issues 218 to 225. Once again, the trade paperback was printed in 2006 for that one, and that one was written by Jeff Johns. And then we're going to wrap that up with the controversial Flash Rebirth, which was a six-issue miniseries from 2009, I believe. The trade came out in 2011, and that's also written by Jeff Johns. So that's what we've got coming up. But if I went over that too quickly for you, you can always go to our website. And on the right, there's the button that says Future Shows. You click on that, and there's links to Amazon to the exact trade paperback that we will be reading. You click on that link, you're set. And that website that you can look that up at is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. If you think we're reading the wrong Flash titles and you want to tell us how much better this other Flash story is, you can let us know that by sending us an email at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Fight.
Sorry, Jen.
You won. It's okay.
And you know, if you think your idea is really genius and you don't want to share it with just us, you want to share it with the world, you can tell us that by posting it on social media such as Twitter or Facebook. That's twitter.com/APSupercast or facebook.com/APSupercast. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes!
What? Such authority.
Mine.
I was not expecting that. Caught me off guard. All right. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right.
Ready?
Let's talk about sidekicks.
What word should I use?
Kicking? Sidekicking? Sidekicking?
Okay, everybody, welcome to another sidekicking episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hey.
And David.